People may ask themselves, why are we asking the question, why are we not Catholic? Why are we stating who we are in the negative? Why are not we simply saying what we believe, what we stand for positively? Why are we insisting on the fact that we also want to say something in the negative, in the sense of distinguishing us from other people, other faith communities, other Christians around us? Well, I understand and I agree that our first and foremost responsibility is to articulate our identity, our faith in Christ in positive terms, stating, affirming, sharing what we believe and what we stand for in positive terms. But the Bible gives us also the responsibility to say who we are and what we believe, what we stand for, in distinction from others who are around us. It is not only that the issue of articulating or presenting positively, but communication, truth, and the gospel requires of us not only to say positively, but also to be able to say who we are not. And increasingly in our world, evangelicals, in my view, are losing the ability to say, to understand the differences between the evangelical faith and the other options that we find in Christianity, the Eastern Orthodox option, or the Roman Catholic option, or the liberal option. And we find it increasingly difficult to say who we are not, because we want to focus on who we are, and that is good. But the other side of the coin is that if we are truly persuaded of who we are positively, we must also be aware of the differences. Otherwise, our identity is blurred if it's not capable of not only presenting itself positively, but also say, being aware of the boundaries around it. So, having said that, let's move on in the first talk. Why I am not a Roman Catholic? And the first answer is the following. I'm not a Roman Catholic because I am a hopeless sinner and not just a wounded person. Now, we are touching on a very important point in the understanding of the Catholic faith. We are talking about our identity, our nature, our position before God. Our position before God determines the whole of our understanding of the gospel. If we consider ourselves to be close to God, then our view of the gospel will be a direct consequence of the fact that we consider ourselves already united with God. If we consider ourselves as sinners, separated from God, totally incapable of relating with God because of our sin, then our view of the gospel will be a consequence of it. Now, in the Roman Catholic understanding, men and women, although considered to be sinners, they are always considered to be capable of God. The Roman Catholic Catechism begins by the section entitled Homo Capax Dei. Man is capable of God. In its sinful state, even though she's considered to be a sinner, men and women always retain the ability, the capability, the faculty of being able to relate to God. Homo capax Dei. And that is the result of the view that the Roman Catholic Church teaches whereby sin is considered to be a wound into our own hearts. Or, to borrow another term that we find in the Roman Catholic Catechism, men and women are considered to be weakened by sin or impoverished by it. You see, the view is that who we are is characterized by a weakness, a wound, and an impoverishment that sin has brought about. What Roman Catholicism lacks is a covenantal view of sin. That is, we, in our progenitors, Adam and Eve, we have sinned against God, and that has broken a covenant relationship. We are no longer in relationship with God in the sense that we are under his judgment, his righteous judgment. And that covenant, that alliance has been broken, and there is nothing we can do to reestablish it ourselves. The Catholic view is that that covenant, or that alliance, initial covenant, has been wounded, weakened, and impoverished, but it is still capable of allowing a relationship with God, in the sense of being able to be open to receive God's grace and also to respond to it. So the Catholic view of mankind lacks the view whereby sin has brought about tragic effects, radical effects. The reformers, the 16th century reformers, talked about the doctrine of total depravity. And by this expression, they meant the fact that in our sinful state, not because we sin, but because we are sinners, as offsprings of Adam and Eve who have sinned before God, breaking that alliance between God and our forefathers and foremothers, because we have sinned, we are totally in a state of total depravity. We no longer are able to have a living, peaceful, reconciled relationship with God. Whatever we do is marred by sin. And unless God gives us in Christ his gift of salvation, we can move here and there. We can try to go upwards. We can do the best we can, but we are dead. Spiritually speaking, we are totally incapable of doing anything that would restore that relationship. The Catholic teaching has a view whereby, so sin is there. I'm not saying that the Catholic Church doesn't have a doctrine of sin, but that doctrine is much, much milder than the biblical teaching on sin. I bring you an example. Consider a person that is sick. You know, he has a flu or has fever or he has pains in different parts of the body. There is even a serious illness, but he or she is still alive. And so he or she is still capable of taking a pill, going to a doctor, drinking a medicine, doing something to try to help himself, and doing something to make things better. And consider, on the other hand, someone who is dead, totally dead, no longer life. And unless a regenerating power gives him life, he is dead, she is dead, because death is as serious as a total incapability of doing anything unless something else happens from outside of us. That is the issue that makes me not a Roman Catholic, because the Bible gives us an analysis of who we are, gives us a description of who we are that is much more realistic and truthful than the Roman Catholic account of men and women. The Bible tells me the truth about myself. It doesn't tell me that I am weak or wounded or impoverished, but still capable of doing something if I am good enough, if I am performative enough, if I commit myself enough too. The Bible doesn't tell me that. The Bible is clear in telling me that I have fallen short of God's glory. I am a sinful man. I am an alien, alienated from God. I am outside of God's covenant. I am in a broken relationship with God, and there is an impending judgment upon me. That's the description that the Bible gives me of myself, instead of giving me a much milder, softer, gentler description of affirming my residual, ongoing abilities before God. Now, if you have a doctrine of man and women and sin, that is what the Catholic Church teaches, and that is that sin is serious but is not radical, is not tragic, doesn't bring a state of total depravity, but rather a state of weakness and woundedness. There are several outcomes. First of all, if I am still alive and I'm capable of negotiating with God His grace, I'm capable of receiving God's grace, I'm capable of cooperating with God's grace, I'm capable of offering what I can to deserve and to earn the gift of God. If I'm still alive, although weakened and sick, but still alive, that means that whatever God does for me is something that I can receive it and work on it and respond to it, and I can add my own bit, my own contribution. The background of this is that I am not in a state of total depravity, but I can contribute in some way through the sacraments, through my works, to my salvation. Then there is the view whereby, since every man and woman is weakened by sin, but not in a state of total depravity, there is a sense in which every man, every woman is in a ongoing, living relationship with God. That is the Catholic view, that we are all brothers. We are all brothers and sisters. And why? Because we are weakened by sin, but not totally separated from God. So the religious person that prays to his own God or gods is expressing a sense of liveness, a sense of life that he or she still retains. And so from that teaching, it follows that the Catholic view is very optimistic about man's capacity of relating to God and about religion's capacity to be ways of salvation, ways of pleasing God, because there is still something good that is active in us. And so grace is an addition to our sinful state that brings, that gives us a better health, but doesn't bring about life in a situation of death. That's the distinction, the difference between the Catholic view of sin and the biblical view of sin. Roman Catholicism underestimates our problem, underestimates. So it looks like more positive, it looks like more affirming, it looks like more humanistic, but in the end, it tells you a lie, because it portrays my, your position as if it were a position of a wounded person, but who still has life in herself, life in himself, and so in need of a medicine rather than in need of a resurrection life coming from outside, coming from God himself in Christ, who was resurrected and is able then to grant his grace as to bring about life when where sin has caused death and destruction and separation and judgment. So the Bible tells me a more realistic picture of myself. And although it looks like more, it looks like negative, it looks like a punch in my stomach, it is nonetheless the truth. Because if I don't start from accepting the fact that I am a sinner in the hands of a righteous God, and I'm totally incapable of doing anything on myself to receive, let alone cooperate with God's grace, the whole gospel will take a different turn, will take a different account. The Catholic account of the gospel is optimistic, is universalist, is synergistic, is cooperative, always implying that what God does needs something on our part to be not only on the receiving end, but also on the cooperative end. And that has to, that brings about a whole different direction of the way in which the gospel is believed and lived out. I'm not a Roman Catholic because I'm a hopeless sinner, not just a wounded person. And I need to hear that analysis that comes from Scripture in order then to plead with God and to ask for his gift of salvation to give me resurrection life in Christ by the Spirit.